Welcome aboard. Grab your compass to find our direction. Let's begin the journey. A Grunt's View. Roland Ocampo, also known as Scrappy.
Thank you, Andrew, for that intro. And welcome to the Grunt's View. This is our first episode. I cannot wait to start this journey with you. I know you're asking, what is this journey we're talking about? Well, this direction is going to be due north, and that means we're going to be climbing up the hill. We're starting on the bottom. This is a whole new thing. This is our first, and we're going to see where we're going to go. My hopes are this adventure takes me to a lot of different places. At gruntsviewsocial.wordpress.com is my blog, where you can go and click on the tab and put the next grid location and put where you're at, what you want to talk about. And you never know, I may stop by and we may just do the podcast with you. And the things we can talk about on the podcast, we can share stories, we can talk about your business, or we could just talk about life in general and the things that are going on around in this crazy world of COVID-19 also. So my plan for this podcast is to start with a personal story. And God knows I got plenty of those. So after the story, what we're going to do is we're going to take the compass and we're going to take a look at what direction and what we're going to talk about for the subject matter of the day. Now, that direction and subject matter can be dependent on you. What you have to do is tell me where we're going. One thing I would like to do is get to know you and get to know your community. Get to know what you do. Talk about your business, maybe home life, and just get a natural sense of where I'm at and how you guys do things here. So here's my story from last year, and this is from the beginning of the school year. I just got back from vacation. Me and Lightning went to Montana, visited some Marine Corps buddies, and thanks to Amos Parks, man, we had a great time up in Montana. That place is beautiful. I cannot express how beautiful Montana is. If you ever had the chance to go up to Montana, please do so, because you're going to get your money's worth. Yeah, I cannot express the views that you get in Montana. There is a reason why they call it Big Sky. There is nothing not big there. The mountains are big. The clouds are big. The blue sky is big. I mean, honestly, that place is one of the best places I've ever been to. And I've been to 23 countries. I speak 3 languages. I think I know what the hell I'm talking about. Plus, we as a group, we went out to a few bars out there. You know, like one night we went to a nice bar downtown, and there was a whole bunch of college kids there. And we had a good time partying with those guys. And then the next day we went to a country bar and we did a little country dancing. We all got out there on the dance floor and tried to do that country dancing that everybody likes to do. We enjoyed ourselves quite a bit up in Montana. We fished, we drank, and we just talked about old times. So after Montana, me and Lightning decided to drive down to go visit Corporal McCowan. And McCowan, he's a good old Marine Corps buddy of mine. We were in boot camp together, although we didn't talk much in boot camp. I tell you, School of Infantry is where we started talking and taking trips down to San Diego. He dropped me off at my aunt and uncle's house, and he would continue on. Well, he continues to do surfer ways, if you know what I mean. Anyway, so I got to go visit him, and his kids weren't there, and his wife wasn't there. They all went to Hawaii. So I just got to sit down and stay with him and talk to him about old times and laugh about what's going on in our world today and see what's been going on in the times we haven't seen each other. Talking with him and seeing about our past, future, and present. So Lightning and I got back to Minnesota and getting ready for the school year. Just happened to be working on a contract for paraprofessionals, and it was 5 of us in the group working with the HR people from Spring Lake Park. You know, I was so happy I got that contract done. We got an 8% raise. So the contract I also got put in there for that us paraprofessionals can get there for the first week and get all the training that's necessary for security measures, for emergencies. And people really don't know that paraprofessionals are with the kids a lot. And the thing is that that's important to know these things, because when we're out on the recess and something happens and you have 4 or 5 classes out there and you have 2, 3 paraprofessionals out there watching those classes, you should know the procedures. And that's the one thing I told the principal. I said, we should be here. And so I got it in the contract so we could be there and learn those things. So going forward, I was there for the first week. I got to see what the procedures were, what the security measures were. I got to meet all the new teachers. We had 20-some new teachers this year, and that's quite a lot. But, you know, it's good to, you know, have new people come in and learn, but they also have to learn about how we do things, and that was an important thing, too. So this one teacher, she was a behavioral specialist. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not licensed to be a behavioral specialist, but I've been in the Marine Corps. These kids, you know, I understand these kids a lot. Maybe it's because sometimes I act like a two-year-old too. So one day, the behavioral specialist was covering me for my lunch. When she came up to me, she goes, okay, what's need to be done? I said, here it is. You know, here at lunchtime, sit in with the girls because the girls won't take his crap. And don't sit in with the boys because boys will be boys. Yep, that's it. Needless to say, I went to lunch. When I got back, the secretary said my boy got in trouble. I said, all right, where's he at? She said, I don't know. I said, okay, I'll go find him. So the first thing I did is I went to the behavior specialist's office, and that's where they were. And as soon as I walked in, my boy was sitting in the teacher's chair. And I'm like, what are you doing there? Get out of there. You don't belong there. And he went back to his chair, and she said, I let him sit there. I'm like, well, you don't reward bad behavior. He goes, tell me what happened. And she said, well, we went to lunch, and I told him he could sit with the boys. And he did, and he got in trouble. And I said, well, see, that's the thing. You don't do that. I told you. He does not sit good with the boys. He does not do a good job. Okay? You have to sit with the girls. The girls don't take his stuff. And he's fine with them. He's very happy there. You put him in a bad situation, you set him up to fail. And he failed. You have to set him up for success. That's why you put him with the girls. The behavioral specialist and myself, we did not agree to many things. And obviously, because she had this quote-unquote degree or specialist, title, whatever, she thought she was right. No, she was not right in many occasions. And the thing is that I tried to tell her, this is what you need to do. I tried to coach her up. You know, she always wondered why the kids listened to me more than her. Or, you know why? Because I explain things to kids. What I do is I bring them out of the classroom. I said, listen, bud, this is what you're doing wrong, okay? You're doing this, this, this. Okay? And you know what you're supposed to do, don't you? And they go, yes. Okay, so let's go back into class and let's stop doing these three things and let's start doing the things you're supposed to do, which is what? Pay attention? Yes. Okay, not touch nobody? Yes. And what else? What else? Listen? Yes, yes, yes. And anything else, you know what to do, don't you? It goes, yes, I do. So that's all I want. All right, now get back into class and do it. This is how I coach the kids to get back into class. And I don't go and take them out of class and have them feel so bad that they can't be with their friends. What I do is I coach them up. Now, if I'm ordered to take them out of class, I will. But most of the times I stay in the class. You know, if they do something wrong, I take them out right away and teach them, this is not what you do. Just like coaching in a sport, which when you see a player doing something, not right, you take them aside, you tell them, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Now, get back in there and do your job. To give you an example of how I used to coach the kids, this one kid, we were in reading class. And, we're reading in Spanish and doing ma, me, mi, po, pu, pa, pi, and doing the sounds when you read and putting the words together. And, a lot of the kids, they sound, especially my kid, they sound like robots. Ma, ma, fe, pi, pa, pu, and so when they would read, they would sound just like that because they're sounding out the syllables just to make the words and the senses, but they weren't flowing. And the teacher is like, I want no robot sounding. I don't want any robots, and this teacher was good. She was soft, but she did command, what she wanted. And I said, I'll help you in this. Don't worry about it. I got this guy, And so I would take him out of class to practice on that. And what I would do is we'd go and read, and he would read. I'm like, no, you can't stop. I'm a robot. You can't sound like a robot. Now, what I would do is that I let him read and do what he's talking about. I'm like, you're sounding like a robot. And most kids, they don't hear what they're sounding like, So we record on the iPad and listen to what he's saying, and this is how you sound. Okay, do you hear that? You sound like a robot. You need to not sound like a robot. So we practiced and practiced and practiced, okay? And he was not going to pass if he sounded like a robot. That's what the teacher said. And the day came for this test, and we practiced. And I was hard on him. Don't get me wrong. I'm a coach, I'm like, hey, you got to do this right. Ma, me, me, po, poo. Ma, me, me, po, poo. It's got to be smooth. Ma, me, me, po, poo. So, and that's all I did. And the thing is, he went and took the test. And, man, I was right behind him. I was listening to him. And he was doing it so perfect. I was like, yes, yes, yes. And I was not trying to be vocal. And I was like in the back, with my arms up in the air. Yes, yes, yes. And I knew he was doing a good job. He got done. And she goes, you passed. And I'm like, yes, yes. So, and we started to go. I said, since he did such a good job, we could have a break outside. Nice little, 5-10 minute break. And so I, on the way out, I was excited. Good job, buddy. Hey, you did an awesome job, man. I was there behind you the whole time, man. I heard everything. You did an awesome job. And he goes, and I gave him a high five and all that. And probably one of the best sayings I've ever heard, and he goes, why are you acting like my dad? And I said, bud, here at school, this is when you become my kid. Because I'm always going to be supporting you. You're my kid. So, yeah, I'll take that. I'll be your dad here, and you can go home and you see your dad. But right here, I'm taking care of you. You got this, okay? I'm so proud of you. You have no idea. And so he went out and he went and played, and that was a highlight of my day that day. Me and the behavioral specialist still, you know, disagreed on many things. And one time she brought one of the kids up to me who just got in trouble in gym class, and he hit a kid, and came to me trying to get him to understand what he did. And she said, I'm not having any luck with him. And I'm like, okay. So I went down on my knees, looked him face to face, and I said, hey, bud, tell me what happened. And sure enough, you know, he's like, well, I was in gym class, you know, and somebody did something and I got mad, and somebody did something again and I got even more mad, and then someone did something again and I just couldn't take any more, and I hit that person. I'm like, okay, I got you. I see where this is going. And I said, you know, listen, this happens to everyone, you know, you, me, I mean, a lot of people. You know, when you get upset and you don't let it out, or you don't tell somebody and don't talk about it, it can really be a big problem, because it festers inside your body, okay? And you don't want that. And let me give you an example of what this is like. Okay, let's say you're a balloon. You ever blown up a balloon? Okay, he's like, yeah, okay. So when you first blow it up, you know, how big is it? Got like baseball size, right? And you're like, yeah. Okay, so imagine when you get mad the first time, that's what the balloon is. The balloon is just baseball size. It's not that big. You know, but, it's there, okay? And what happens when you got mad again? Well, you blew up the balloon even bigger. So now, what size is it? Probably about almost like a little soccer ball size, right? You know, and you know, it's folding, but it's expanded so much, you know. And it just is now that fester has now become irritant inside your body, you know. You're just getting more angry. And then the third time, well, you know, you blow that thing up again, guess what happens? Explodes. And that third time, that's what you did, didn't you? You exploded and you end up hurting somebody, okay? See, and the reason why that is, because you didn't, what happens if you're holding that balloon and you open up that one end where the air goes out, huh? You open it up, it lets all the pressure out, all the anger goes out, okay? That's what you need to do. So if you get angry the next time, do me a favor and go to your teacher and talk to him and tell him why you got angry. Let it out, okay? Express your feelings, tell him what you need, or, you know, if you need him to apologize or whatever happened, just let the air out, okay? That's all you need to do, because if you keep letting it blow up, you're going to explode every time, and then guess who gets in trouble? Not the other guy, it's going to be you every time. You. So let's not get in that, all right? Let's fix the problem, okay? So then the behavioral specialist looks at me in amazement. I'm like, well, I don't know, I have a special gift on how to explain things to kids. I don't know. And she wasn't happy about that. So here I was in another classroom, and another problem came up. And the kid was just not wanting to participate. He wanted to do his own thing. He started setting up a little wall with chairs. And so I called in for reinforcements, which was Danielle and the behavior specialist. Now, they came in right away, and they're like, oh, does he need to take a break? And I'm like, well, I guess he could, you know. And so I go, let's take him to the blue room. I'm like, all right. Okay, it's fine by me. Go ahead. So them two decided to take him to the blue room. And the funny thing is that blue rooms are padded rooms. And, you know, he was fine there. He's just putting up chairs. So I brought them in case he was going to get, you know, upset and start hitting people or something like that. He went down to the blue room. I went out to do my job, drop off and pick up. So after doing drop off, I went back to the office and went to go get my stuff. And there they are at the blue room. My behavioral specialist was holding the door while Danielle had the child in the hold. And as soon as I got there, the behavioral specialist asked me to hold the door while she went in to go help. And about probably 2 minutes later, the parent, the mom, comes in, sees her child in a hold with two teachers, and starts crying. I let her in right away. And once, you know, I let her in, behavioral specialist came out, took the door, and I grabbed my stuff and left. The next morning, I come in and we have a meeting about what happened. And first thing they ask is, Roland, what happened in the classroom? I said, honestly, nothing. All he did is start getting upset, didn't want to participate in class. And he started setting up a row of chairs to like a shield or, you know, a wall. And I called you guys up just to make sure, you know, anything would happen, I'd have backup. And she goes, oh, I mean, he didn't do anything? He's like, no, he didn't do anything in class, no. And then she looks at Danielle and she's like, oh my God, we put him in a hold and we didn't have to. I'm like, well, I don't think that was necessarily a bad idea. I mean, you know, the one thing is that now he knows what the blue room is, and now I guarantee you he doesn't want to go there. So I bet you today if he does something, he's going to be a little stuck. And that's what I told him. Sure enough, the day came, and in class he got upset again, but this time he did not do anything wrong. He just sat in the corner and cried. And, you know, me and the behavioral specialist came there, and right away he's just crying in the corner. And it happened to be, is interesting because, you know, he was being evaluated by a psychologist, and she, you know, we talked to her, and she said, well, you know, I don't know. He's sitting there. I think he's fine just sitting there. And he just kept yelling, you know, leave me alone. You know, but his issues before, you know, about him being aggressive towards other kids, that was a problem. And we needed to address that for the future and make sure he didn't do that again. So the behavioral specialist is telling me we should leave. He wants us to leave. Let's leave. I said, you know what? Yeah, I'm okay with one of us leaving, but not both. Because, you know, what happens if he does do something? And, you know, these teachers can't hold him. The psychologist can't hold him. Only we can hold him. So one of us should stay. And she goes, nope, he wants us to go. We should go. I said, no, I think, you know, for the safety of the kids, I think one of us should stay. And she argued with me again. She went to the psychologist. The psychologist, no, I think you'll be all right sitting there. So she goes, okay, all right, you're the boss. I said, but I said this, I bet you 20 push-ups that he hit somebody. She goes, fine. And she shook my hand. And so we made that bet. She was going to owe me 20 push-ups if he did something wrong. And so I was okay with that, you know, with the little fun and games, you know. So we left. And sure enough, you know, he's sitting there later on the day. I'm coming in with my class, and I see him on the corner still. He hasn't moved at all. And I see the psychologist and her talking, and I'm like, I come in, hey, what happened? You owe me 20 push-ups? He goes, no, he hasn't done anything. Ah, I'm like, okay. So that's it. And I continue with my class. Well, guess what? The next day was Halloween. And Halloween, I got called into the principal's office. And what happened? Well, I got written up. I got written up by Danielle and the behavioral specialist, and I didn't know that. She just told me that someone complained, and I was being sent home. And that's the last day that I was at the school. And I was like, I really thought it was a parent. I really did. Because I got yelled at during drop-off by one of the parents like 2 days earlier. So I figured that was the problem. But I get yelled at drop-off probably 2 times, 3 times, maybe out of the year. Because people don't want to follow directions and move forward and help. Be consistent with everybody else. And that was the big thing. Everybody always worried about me and not worried about the collective group as the community. There's always that 10% that doesn't want to follow directions. So here it goes. I went home. And knowing that I had previous write-ups, and those are all, everything here that I've been talking about is pretty much into my suicide letter that's on my blog. If you want to read it and go, you can go to that. It's not as bad as you might think. It's a sacrificial letter than a suicide type letter. So it's more telling the story like I've been telling here. But it's still hard for me and to get over this whole thing of losing my job. That was the number one thing that happened, is that I came to the first meeting. They asked me to resign. They said they did an investigation. And, you know, they said that what I did by betting was not right. I did it in front of the child and all that. And, you know, I was just joking around. I wasn't mean to hurt anybody. I didn't be hurting a kid or nothing like that. Yeah, so they asked me to resign, but then I told them about an incident with the kid earlier. And so they said, oh, we'll be back in 7 days. We'll have to look into that. I said, okay. Well, during that 7 days, so I'm running out in California, an 03 like me, end up going to a bar and shooting 11 people and killing them. It was not a good thing for us Marines. The Marine Corps hurt very badly over this. It's not what we do. The Commandant said that, and he issued a statement about it. He said this Marine has no longer got the title of Marine, and I don't think you guys understand how much we hold that title as who we are. It devastated us, devastated that community, but here I am in my last meeting, and, you know, at everything that I've done, I don't think I did anything bad except for that incident where I tackled a student in football. I held him to his weight, and people don't understand that. I held his weight to the ground, but his elbow landed on ice and he got hurt, and that was it. And he went back to play right after I brought him to the nurse. But I do see my mistake in that regard. You know, it was just been fun. And the thing is that, you know, I never did anything, I don't think, seriously wrong. I may have made a mistake or two, but I don't think they were written up. I don't think there should have been write-ups. talking to, yes, but not write ups. And the thing is that this whole event that happened in California, they brought this into my last meeting on my on the day that I resigned. And I was like, what? This is not me. Yeah, he's a Marine, but I'm not that Marine. This is not me. So they made me feel really bad about what this Marine did and put it on me. I was really upset about that, but I couldn't say much because I was losing my job at the moment. And they were giving me money for some reason. I don't know why, but they were going to pay me until January 1st. And they're saying, oh, we don't do this for everybody. Then why are you doing it? Are you doing it because I did a good job here? And you know I did. And you know I did a lot of things that you don't pay me to do, but I did it anyway. You know, I was questioning this the whole time. So when I resigned, you know, they said they promised me a few things. They promised me a letter to the parents. You know, they told me I couldn't do this or that. Well, they didn't follow through on their promises. I didn't stand on my account either once they stopped following what they said they were going to do. I met up with teachers and talked to them. I talked with parents on Facebook and stuff. And I was really in a bad place, you know, emotionally. But, you know, thinking about everything, I was trying to overcome it. It just kept getting worse and worse. And my mind wasn't doing well either. And being at the house where I lived, you know, I lived with some 20-year-olds. That wasn't good either. I didn't relate to them very well. Yeah, it was hard. So I pretty much stayed secluded, isolated in my room. And I had the dogs. I had Lightning with me, and I had my roommate's dog, Oreo. For some reason, dogs really like me, like kids. They come and they stay next to me and all that. It's hilarious. Oreo basically became like a second dog to me. I'd pet him, and he forced me to pet him again. He's a really good dog. And so I had Lightning and Oreo next to me on the bed while I was sleeping and trying to get over this thing. And I couldn't get up, couldn't do nothing. I'd get a call from Marines, and Marines would call all the time to make sure I was all right. And I appreciate that. It helped, but it couldn't get me out of that hole. And that was the biggest thing, is I couldn't get out of the hole. And I tried. I had a couple things looking forward to. I thought I was getting around the corner. When spring came, I got to go to two weddings. One was a college buddy, and then one was my niece's. As my cousin's daughter, I call her my niece, because that's how I call all my cousins, you know, brothers and sisters, basically, because they are. They're pretty close. Yeah, I got to see those two weddings, and Lightning was doing really bad, though. She injured herself in January, and she started limping. And I just thought it was a sprain. It just kept getting worse and worse. So when I went down to Miami for the wedding for my niece, so I took her to my Marine Corps buddy's wife's veterinarian clinic, and they checked her out. She said she was fine, gave me some pain pills, but her assistant said, watch this shoulder. Something doesn't look right there. And sure enough, about a month and a half later, that thing got huge. And I took her back to the vet, because, you know, my buddy's wife told me, yeah, you should take her to the vet and check again. And sure enough, you know, cancer. And it just broke my heart. The story of Lightning and what happened, you know, I wrote that in the blog too. She's there. It's just, I just lost it. She was my anchor, my biggest anchor. With everything that was going on in my life, I felt like nothing was going my way. You know, having HIV, not being able to date, not knowing how to tell girls. You know, what do you tell them? You tell them beforehand, you tell them afterwards. You know, I just didn't know what to do. Since the firing, because now I'm fired, I should tell people, because, you know, I don't have to be worried about people saying, oh, he shouldn't be working at school because he got HIV or something. So now I started telling some people, even though some people already knew, like some of my high school friends and all that. Lightning, when she went, that was the last deal. I was turning 50. I was losing my lease at the house I was at. I just didn't see any hope. And so I decided to end it. And amazingly, I did it. And the reason why I'm doing this blog is because I'm looking for a new adventure. I'm trying to find my home. I still, like I said, I've been to 23 countries and I still haven't settled anywhere because I don't know where home is. Home is the United States of America. That I do know. So I'm going to go travel and visit my home. And I'm going to travel around and hopefully I get to meet a whole bunch of people and get to do this podcast with a whole bunch of, you guys. Just so you can tell me about your life and do all this. I'm looking forward to the adventure. If you're a business, I can make t-shirts for the episodes that we do. I'll put my logo on the front of the shirt. I'll put your logo on the back and put the episode that we did on the bottom of it. And you can be on you'll be on my site to sell. And, you know, proceeds would go to me, of course. Because I need to figure out how I'm going to live. I've been struggling since I shot myself twice, trying to figure out what the future is. I've been doing a good job. Thanks to 23rd Veteran and the VA did an awesome job. If you want to read about that, that is also on the blog. I can't say enough for the people who have helped, my friends from Totino Grace. They did an awesome job in giving me a leg up and helping me out of that hole. And I can't express that enough. A lot of people did. And, you know, the one thing I learned about that being in that hole is you're not going to get out of that damn thing if you're not willing to take your first steps. Because, you know, I got two buddies here right now who are struggling, and I'm trying to help them. And to be honest with you, getting down deep in that hole with them is hard to do. You actually have to put yourself really in a place where you don't want to see what that hurt looks like, what that pain looks like, what that struggle looks like. It is so hard to be empathetic to that. Go down there and pick somebody up. It is easier, much easier, to tell that person, hey, do this, I'll help you from there. Do this or help you from there. That's why they have the suicide hotlines. That's why they have, and I keep saying this, that those hotlines won't work. Because there's nobody's going to say, hey, I'm giving up today, and I'm going to call the hotline. Nobody's going to do that. I didn't call the hotline. I knew exactly what I was doing, and I wasn't going to tell nobody. And that's the thing. They don't tell nobody. So I have on the blog, you know, a lot of things that are going to help people figure that out, maybe help them. To be honest, the person has to start something on their own. You have to use that toolbox. My biggest thing is use the toolbox. Find something you like and do it. Right now, I'm working on this podcast, and I'm working on designing T-shirts for the podcast. And I'm going to go out and see nature, climb a mountain with my Marine Corps buddies. That is my goal. Lightning is in the car with me. She is still there, and I'm going to take her to Florida to her beach. That will be my summer stop. And on my birthday, August 24th, I'm going to put her back in the ocean where she likes to swim and stuff. That'll be her final resting place. So that is it. Yeah, that is it. That's my blog for today. Now you got a story. And so please go visit my blog and enjoy this podcast. Again, the blog is at agruntsviewsocial.wordpress.com. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope this thing grows and I get to climb to the peak and get to some place where I never thought I would be. And I can't wait to see the view from there. So everybody, thank you. And I'm going to make sure, I'm going to pass this off to Andrew so he can tell you what you need to do to take care of yourself. Because this hike, this journey, you got to take care of your body too. So you guys, y'all have a good one. Thank you.
Drink water, check your feet, rest, and be grateful for this journey. Go to agruntsviewsocial.wordpress.com. Let's go. For me to understand.